And then, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, again, we continue on looking at this wonderful hymn as we were singing it. It just goosebumps. I love it so much. And just listening to these words again, so powerfully Advent themed. I mean, you hear these words and all I can think of are just the images that that God's Word brings from Advent. But, well, let's start off with a little review. Did I not plug things in again, Bill? I do this all the time. I think it's just the VGA cord needs to be plugged in. Anyway, so last week, in case you were here or in case you were not here, we started off looking at the first verse of this hymn. And I would encourage you to open up your hymnals and follow along. It's hymn number 578. So that first verse that we looked at, we reflected on Jesus, who is the light of the world, who is God's strong word that did cleave the darkness for us. This strong word that did such an amazing and wonderful thing for us in the history of our salvation. Not a prophet, not apostle, not even just a good person. But we reflected upon how this was God in the flesh. Because the problem that we are all very familiar with is that we had fallen into sin. We began looking at creation and looking at how good creation was at the very beginning. How God himself had declared it very good. But now our sin had shattered that goodness. That sin had separated those good things. In the beginning, we see God taking this shapeless, formless, void-filled thing and forming it into our creation. We see him speaking words and light is created. We see him dividing light and darkness, not saying one is good and the other is evil, but them forming this perfect pair, this duality, this positive, this negative, this thing that we all see throughout all these parts of creation, light and dark, that beautiful balance. But yet, even in sin, that is ruined. As light is now blinding purity that we simply cannot stand, and darkness becomes the place that we hide our sin and our evil. But yet, as we reflected on God speaking and creation happening, we also reflected on God speaking a word. And not just any word, but a word which became flesh. And that flesh, that word, that person was not just around God, but he himself was God. And he didn't just come and hang around, but he actually came to meet us one on one. But now this evening, let's look at verse 2. Lo, on those who dwelt in darkness, dark as night and deep as death, broke the light of thy salvation, breathed thine own life-breathing breath. Alleluia, alleluia, praise to thee whose light doth send. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia without end. The verse calls to mind for me the prophecies concerning the Christ. But first, actually, I want to look at what Matthew does with it. So in our gospel lesson, Matthew takes this and shows how he is actually already fulfilling Scripture. He says in verse 16 of our gospel lesson, the people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light. Those dwelling in the region of region and shadow of death, on them has light dawned. Which is almost exactly what we see in Isaiah. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. God blesses Isaiah with this prophecy, with this image, with these words. And Matthew then takes these words and shows you and me and all people how this is all about Jesus. How he is the fulfillment of these things. But yet it's a beautiful image, right? Does it actually mean anything? What does it mean for those dwelling in darkness to see light? And not just any light, but a great light. Well, as we talked last week, we talked about creation. We looked at darkness. We looked at light and how these things all fit together in good perfection. They were this divinely partnered thing. And we also just mentioned just a second ago how even sin ruins light and dark. How it taints them. Now, darkness is not just the absence of light, but now a place where sin and evil hide. Because this is what we all do. We escape into the darkness of our hearts. We hide our sins. We all do these things. We look at others in judgment. You might be driving down 4th Street. You get caught off by a woman, and you see that she's wearing a hijab. And immediately your mind, you judge her, and she's a bad driver. Another one of these Somali drivers who come in and they don't know how to drive. This is immediately where your mind goes. You're home alone. It's kind of nice for once. You're not bothered. You get to do whatever you want. So you figure you'll go on the computer, but yet sin in your heart is there too. You go and you start looking at things you probably shouldn't. Maybe it's that you're shopping for things that you can't afford. Maybe you're coveting things that you really don't need, starting to consume you. Maybe it's something like pornography, going somewhere and letting lust take over your heart. We all struggle with this. We all hide in darkness. What are you hiding in your heart? Well, that's not the only darkness that we see, is there? There's a darkness that takes us, a blackness that reaches out to us and pulls us in. It's this evil of this world that we are caught in. A darkness that holds us, an evil that we constantly fight back against, that we cry out against, but there's no relief. You're suffering. We all are. You're in pain because you're aging and your joints just don't do what they're supposed to do anymore. You would love to go out and do these things, run around with people, have a blast and have fun, but you can't move like you used to. You're just in pain. Your heart is breaking when you turn on the television and you see everything that's going on all over the world. You're getting these contrasting stories of people in great wealth and then news stories about people who can't even pay their hospital bills. Or the other ones that we're all very familiar with, people shooting one another, politicians bickering back and forth about this and that. And all of these news, serious news things are happening, and then it turns like a light switch to where, here's what you should buy your family for Christmas. As if those evil things never even happened. And then there's yet another darkness that we're all very familiar with. It might be the darkness that hurts the most. Darkness of death. Seeing children out there who have not had an opportunity to do anything in life. Seeing a young man or a young woman taken before they can even start a family, start a career, start a new path. Losing a loved one, leaving unfinished business. The darkness of death that just simply breaks our hearts. And it's a darkness that is like a shadow for all of us, always right behind us. Because the reality that we all must be familiar with is that death will take us. The wages of sin is death. And this is the darkness. The light is needed. Because we simply cannot do anything about this darkness. We are simply in it. As not only Isaiah but Matthew have put it, dwelling in it. Living in it. It's not just some abstract thing, some philosophy of why is there evil, but it's now our home where we live. We know nothing else. And thus we need light. So for those who are caught in darkness, how beautiful are the words of Isaiah 9. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. And Isaiah doesn't just give, again, nice words. He starts to form an image and give us some concrete things to look at and to hold on to. Because this isn't just a light like some lamp that is sitting on a table, or even a light like the sun that provides many great things. But this is a light for the nations that we see in a king. A king who will rule in justice, who will rule in righteousness, who will remove burden. A beautifully powerful image. He will break the rod of the oppressor. He will bring peace. But the question is, this always is, when we look at these Old Testament passages, is when? When will this happen? When will this be fulfilled? Look at that Hebrews passage. Especially look at verses 14, 15, and 16, the bottom of page 3. God has subjected all things to Jesus. He is this king that Isaiah is referring to. He is the Prince of Peace. He is Mighty God. But this Mighty God, quite ironically, becomes humble. He allows himself, who was above all things, to be below all things, lesser than all things. Verses 14 through 16. Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things. He became those very same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who, through fear of death, were subject to lifelong slavery. For surely it's not angels that he helps, but he helps the offspring of Abraham. And as you turn to familiar places like in Romans, Paul reminds us that even though we are not Jews, we are not children of Abraham, we are those wild branches that have been sown into the family tree, that have been not sown, but grafted into the family tree. That this is just as much a message for us as it is for the children of Abraham. Because this is our light that shines in darkness. Because it's not only the Jews who suffer this problem of darkness, of death, of sin, of evil, but all mankind. And Christ has not come just for the Jews, but for all nations, as all suffer this reality. And he is our God, above all things, who becomes subject to all things. He allows his beautiful, pure, holy light to be smothered so that we could be brought out of darkness. He suffers death to destroy the power of death. And then by his resurrection, it's almost like icing on the cake. It's that sweet, beautiful period at the end of the sentence that you have life because he lives, as the Apostle John reminds us, releasing us. Releasing us from darkness, releasing us from sin, from death, from this evil that breaks our hearts. And as the person who wrote this beautiful hymn says, what else can we do but sing Alleluia? Remember last week I explained to you Alleluia is a Hebrew word that means praise the Lord. Very simply and simply put is praise the Lord. There is nothing more we can do. There are no gifts we can lift up to God to say thank you. But it's not why he has done it. He has done it because of who he is. He is the light shining in this darkness. He is the purity that overpowers this evil. And so therefore all we can do is sing our Alleluias. And it's not just in song that we sing in church or in hymns, but it's even those Alleluias that we live as we praise the Lord by living in the joy of our freedom. That death is no longer the end, that death has no power because we have been given the light. We live in everything that he has given us because of his love. And for that, all we can do is say, Alleluia, Alleluia, Alleluia without end. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.